up, internet? We both eradicate people to make the world a better place. I just want it to be tidier. My name is Matthew Kroll.
And I get why you shot him. And I'm Stephen Van Patten.
And this is the only podcast about movies, specifically the film No Time to Die. SVP, thank you so much for coming to my aid in this most late hour, my friend. How are you?
I'm good. I guess you heard the rumor that I'm somewhat nocturnal anyway, so here I am.
You know, I'd heard that for the last 17 years or whatever. It's weird. Oh, wow. I keep getting older, and you just don't. There's
weird... Okay, stop. Just stop.
No, dearest listeners, a bunch of wonderful cacophonous nonsense happened to get SVP here today. First and foremost, as we all know, Shahir is not yet hitting back to theaters, so he could not see this movie even though he did want to. He sends his regards. He also says, you're looking real snazzy today, listener. And also, I had another guest lined up for this evening, but an emergency happened. And they couldn't make it. So I went through and I was like, ooh, I gotta tap my old school movie review buddies. And so I texted, well, actually, it's funny. I texted SVP, I texted Stephen Buja, and I texted Aaron Gould. I'm sorry. I didn't text Aaron Gould. These are all people from the Same Night Tonight old school show that we used to do. And I didn't tap Aaron because she got married on Monday and I figured she was busy.
So I'm just about to say.
So, SVP, as he's done throughout my career, decided to swoop in and save my ass. So I very much appreciate you coming here, buddy.
All good.
Yeah. So I guess my first question is, what is your relationship with Mr. Bond, James Bond? Are you into these movies? Do you dig them overall? Did you get on board at a certain actor? Like, what's your Bond story?
My Bond story is, to be honest, so as a little kid, I guess about it, when I was a little kid, let's reveal that bit of news.
Okay.
I think Roger Moore was the lead,
right.
And he wasn't like I'm a little kid. I'm expecting certain kinds of things for my entertainment, and Roger Moore wasn't quite it. And even when he was it, it was really just sort of like, okay, I'm at the movies.
You know, sure.
I had no real emotional attachment to Roger Moore, even though I'm sure a lot of other people did.
Right, right, right.
I got a little older and discovered Sean Connery's movies.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when I was like, oh, that's what this is supposed to feel like. That is. And then it was so funny because I remember the whole big deal about, because I want to say America in general got introduced to Pierce Brosnan through a show called Remington Steele from back in the day.
Yes.
And at the time, everybody was like, oh, my God, he'd make a great James Bond. He'd make a great James Bond. But the network, I think it was ABC. It might have been NBC, but I'm not sure. But obviously, it wasn't Netflix or any of those other people because they weren't around yet. But Remington Steele, big network show, they were not letting him out of his contract.
Mm.
And then Timothy Dalton took over.
Yep.
I had, outside of Grace Jones being in one of those movies, I gotta admit, I wasn't that into that.
Oh, yeah. Which one was it? Was that The Living Daylights or License to Kill?
Something like
it. I don't remember.
Might have been Living Daylights, but okay. I don't quote me, even though this is recorded. Anyway, I'm just saying because people always say that. It's like,
of course.
You're being recorded.
Yes.
But, and you can be dead ass wrong. But anyway, so whatever that was. So Timothy Dalton was in it. And Timothy Dalton, I mean, great actor in so many other things, even as recent as Doom Patrol.
Yes. Oh, you know? Yeah. I forgot about that.
And not to mention Penny Dreadful. He's mm-hmm. great in that. Mm-hmm. But he didn't, you know, it didn't, at the time, it did not step in front of me enough for me to, like, ignore, like, the Aliens franchise. And,
sure.
And all, for any of that stuff to overtake anything. Then Pierce Brosnan finally gets to be Bond. And then he and on top of that, Halle Berry is the Bond girl.
Oh, that's in number three, isn't it? That's in
Is one of the Bond girls. Yes, absolutely.
In The World Is Not Enough, I believe. Or maybe I Die Another Day. It's hard to keep track.
No, I don't think it's... Yeah, it is so hard to keep track. There's like a million of them. I mean, you know, even Batman is like, Jesus, dude, really? Like, yeah. Son. But even then, it was just like the whole Remington Steele hype. And it's also because I feel like the mood of these movies is very reflective of the times that the movies come
very
out.
Very much.
You know, and, you know, of course, all these franchises go through that. Batman's a big example of that, just in terms of how campy and boom, pap, pow it was in the 60s. And as you and I now celebrate, get over here, you know, and that sort of like, you know, gruffness that's become the norm now. Bond's kind of the same way, you know.
He got a little more rough and tumble around the edges when Craig sort of stepped into it.
But then that's where I was hooked. Daniel Craig becomes what many people say is what Ian Fleming always intended in the first damn place. That's another thing. And I like Casino Royale. And granted, like, as the movies have gone, I've liked them to varying degrees.
Yeah.
I loved Casino Royale. Quantum of Solace, I had to watch that like three times before I was really like, okay, all right. All
same,
right, okay.
Same.
And the rest of them, fairly good entertainment. Judi Dench is always great. Ralph Fiennes. The cast they built around him for those first batch of movies, really, really solid, you know?
Yeah.
You know, and the villains were nice, but they were that same level of creepiness as the Sean Connery villains,
right?
But with a sort of, you know, 21st century sophistication to them.
A bit more grounding to them.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly, because you also didn't have Oddjob and Jaws chasing behind him at the same time.
Yeah.
You did have, even though you did have a fairly colorful characters. Then they released this damn thing, and I'm like, and you know, I don't know how far we're going to end up going in spoilers.
Eventually, we will.
I am going to let you take the charge on that.
Sure.
Since I'm just a guest, but I mean, all I'm going to say is, to kind of put a button on this real quick. This is the first time I watched a James Bond film and was in my feelings.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I was like literally like I like fanboying almost. Like like a couple of times in the theater. I was just like, oh my God. Like what wow. Like I like first of all, and the movie is like what, 2 hours and 45 minutes?
Yeah, it's crazy long. I was shocked at the runtime of this beast.
But dare I say, didn't feel like it. Enough thrills that, I mean, you might have been conscious of the time, especially if you know, mistakenly like myself, had a lot of coffee before you saw the movie.
Sure.
And then had to make a quick exit just before the Blofeld interrogation.
Right.
But so I missed a little something here and there. But I mean, even with that, I mean, like, time was not a factor. Because the story was actually that good.
Yeah.
So.
No, I agree very much so. I backing up a little bit, my bonding, if you will, did start with Pierce Brosnan and GoldenEye. And weirdly, I came into wanting to see the movies, and I didn't really know much about I heard James Bond before, and I knew that this was a thing that existed, but I didn't come into it until GoldenEye for the N64, and I was playing that like a crazy person, and then I was like, I should probably figure out what this is based on, and I have never sort of looked back. In fact, friend of the show, or I guess friend of mine, he hasn't been on the show. I don't know. Do you remember Mike Stipulkowski, old MTV producer friend?
Yeah.
Yeah. So he and I, before he moved away, we used to do this thing called Male Bonding Nights. And I have a box set on Blu-ray of every Bond movie up to Skyfall. And it is a lovely set. I suggest getting it for any fan. And we were slowly going through all of them. You know, in order. And man, like what you said before, SVP, about like they are products of their time that is so true, and it's odd to see all the differences, just who James Bond is as a person and how he treats those around him is very interesting to watch that progress. I started with Brosnan, went backwards, did all those, and then jumped on the Craig train. And I gotta say, so these five films that Daniel Craig was in, they are, in my opinion, it varies how do I put this? The type of films vary between the five of them the same amount that I think all the rest of the Bond films vary again, like around each other sort of thematically in the entire existence of Bond. Meaning, you can watch the five Craig films and kind of get the feeling of what sort of a lot of old Bond, like how James Bond has been throughout his entire, and I use this as a fictional character, air quotes, career. So it's super interesting to see. And I got to say, this one, again, mirroring what you said, 2 hours and 43 minutes, didn't blink, didn't look at the watch, didn't look at anything. I was in it. I did not end up going to the bathroom. I opted against drinking anything for the 2 hours beforehand because I'm a psychopath. Overall, it was quite a enjoyable swan song to this run, which has me even more sort of interested in where it sort of goes from here. I will say also, and I don't know if you noticed this or you felt this, but like, we all thought Daniel Craig was going to be done with this after Skyfall, right? Like, we thought that that was it. And then Spectre comes out, which I think it's either that or Quantum that are my least favorites, and I go back and forth. Spectre felt like Daniel Craig just didn't want to be there.
A little bit.
Like, it was a weird vibe. And in this one, for whatever reason, maybe like the script better, maybe the through line was much more clear, yada, yada, yada. He like brought his like, I'm enjoying it A game. Like, because there is something to be said to know, like when you're working on a project, we're both production people, SVP, you know this as well as I do. Yes. Sorry, and I didn't even introduce you properly. SVP is a phenomenal stage manager and writer of horror books. Please check out Brookwater's Curse and Killer Genius, the series. They are wonderful. And if you've watched something on MTV in the last, you know, forever, SVP's probably had a hand in it. So being that we've both done production for a while, when you're doing a project, a film, a show, anything, and there's no end in sight, it can often be a slog. But if you know there's 26 episodes, if you know that this live show's only going to go for 3 hours because there's a union break coming up or something like that, like, there's, you get a little bit, like, more okay.
And, oh, absolutely.
And of course, Daniel Craig is on a higher level than that because he is front and center and yada, yada, yada. But like, you know, I think there's something to be said for that. And also, he's gotten to have more fun now between Bond films, because what he did Knives Out, which you could tell he loved. I mean, hell, they even brought in for 10 fucking minutes Ana de Armas because they had such good chemistry in that film. It felt like they brought her in as like a Bond girl to show up for 15 minutes, kick ass, and be like, bye.
Bye.
And he got, even before then, what was it? He was in Logan Lucky, somewhere around between all these things. And he looked like he was chewing scenery and having a great time there. So, like, as soon as, like, I think that he realized he could do a lot of different stuff and he saw that there was an ending, happy Daniel Craig to cap this off. How do we feel with this film in particular? Let's kind of go through, because again, when we even came on here, SVP, you're like, so what are we gonna do? Sing this thing's praises for a while? And I was like, yeah, pretty much. But I'm trying to think of the things that like I did not connect with, right? Because there's always a few things. For instance, I have never in this five film arc of Bond really connected with Madeline. Like the love of his life, love interest. I was always more of a Vesper guy.
Well, everybody.
Yeah, I know. But like, so like.
Because it's forbidden. That's forbidden fruit psychology, I
guess.
Think.
I don't know. It's not that the actress, Leah Sado, I think I said that correctly, is bad or anything like that. It's just that I never sort of like connected the dots. I actually think it's because the plot line of Spectre is a little loosey-goosey that I probably don't have that through line. Because like this movie does feel like here's a relationship with weight, but it also feels like that weight came before. It's kind of like a Marvel film sort of thing. And because I never connected before, I had a hard time kind of latching on here.
I get that.
So that was one sort of sticking point. But again, it was super loose. Was there anything for you that stuck out that was a bit of a sore thumb or tiny itch point or anything?
Well, I'm reminded of a meme that came out just a couple of months before this movie, and the crux of it, I can't do it verbatim, but the crux of it is, okay, I get James Bond is a super cool, super intelligent spy, but how does he know how to do everything? Like, and the meme goes on to ask, like, when in spy school did he learn how to work a cement mixer? So it's that constantly being thrown. Like, that's going to throw you, if you're thinking while you're watching the movie and you're not just going, ooh, ah, ooh, ah.
Right.
I think when they do something really bananas, like, there's that gravity plane, I think they called it.
Oh, yeah,
and it's
yeah.
Have you flown this thing before? And she's like, no. And I'm like, what do you mean, no? like, what are you talking about? It's like, you've never flown this thing? Like, you know, like, stuff like that. It's like. Because you're literally like taking your life in your hands. When I get on a plane to go to the Bahamas, you know, it's with the understanding that the pilot's done this before.
Right.
You know.
Right. Right. Right.
And I get it. They're super cool spies, and you've only got a couple of hours to get down with you know what we're doing here. But like Jesus Christ, you know. But that's like a universal complaint.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, well, that happens that's all like, the time in all of these movies.
Well, it's so funny because I think a lot of that has to do with tone. Again, with the Daniel Craig films, I feel like tone, they took it to more of a, they Batman Begins it. Like, they took it to more of a sort of, like, believable, not quite believable place because the Pierce Brosnan movies, by the end of them, all the Bonds really were so, like, kind of wackadoo, probably post, like, 78, 79 to whenever Casino Royale came out and
agreed.
Sort of reset the tone. So, like, there's definitely something to be said about that. And so when the leftover things from Bond, the Bond oeuvre, step through, like, being good at everything, knowing how to do literally work every piece of machinery known to man, or even, like, I get that Bond is supposed to have a quip. Like, I get it. I get that he's supposed to make a joke after he kills somebody. That's like, that's a Bond thing.
Mm-hmm.
But Daniel Craig doing it always feels terrible. Like, that Bond, I don't feel like would say those words. And it's such always, like, there's a moment in this film, and this one will get into minor spoilers, where he uses an EMP to explode someone's bionic eye.
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
And I don't even remember what the pun is. I do, like, but Daniel Craig, like, said it.
I showed it. I was showing a guy my watch. It blew his mind.
Right. Oh, there we go. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. And, like, that's, look. On the surface, that's a funny, nonsense, jokey,
it's
silly
hysterical.
Line.
Yes.
That I feel like I really like. Daniel Craig saying it after going through like the turmoil that he is in that moment, like after 2 hours of just getting the shit kicked out of him emotionally and physically, for him to say that, I was just like, huh. So like,
it's like, yeah, I get it.
The tone, I think that sort of harkens back again to sort of like, and I guess it's a compliment and a bit of a dig. There's moments where the old Bond creeps through, I guess, from a scripting perspective, either being a jack of all trades or just a quip master. And Daniel Craig's Bond never felt like that would be really the case.
But then I guess all British folk are supposed to have something dry to say at a moment's notice.
Of course,
so
of course.
I guess that's the justification, or that's what, you know, plays a part in it or what have you.
So another aspect of this movie that I thought was a big frown upside down moment was Christoph Waltz's Blofeld. Because in Spectre, I had a real, we might have actually talked about this at a certain point, SVP. I had a real problem with Spectre because it does what I consider one of the cardinal sins of all film craft. And that is when you are taking an old element of a film or doing a reboot or a remake or bringing something in from a previous iteration of the property, as they did with Blofeld. That Blofeld is a Bond villain from way back. When you do that and then you don't build the character up enough in your new world and you rely on name recognition and emotional resonance from the audience, and then you have your characters in the film match that resonance, the I understood that reference of it all, without like the characters having that sort of cachet of interaction or clout or whatever. So like James Bond in Spectre has a huge reaction sort of to, oh my, it's Blofeld. But like that James Bond shouldn't know who Blofeld is. I mean, or you could read into it and write us in onlymoviepodcast@gmail.com if you think I'm way off. Or if you just want to say hi and tell us what a great job we're doing. Like, you could say, like, if Bond is the same character somehow from the 60s. Like,
no, I get what you're saying. It's almost like, well, again, going back to Batman, they make that mistake. And I think Star Wars occasionally did it too. You know, it's just like you're relying on the... Like you said, sort of like the branding.
The biggest one in the last 15 years or so, I forget when it came out, was when the J.J. Abrams Star Trek came out, or Into Darkness came out.
Oh,
and like
yeah.
the entire time they're like, it's not Khan. You know, Benedict Cumberbatch isn't playing Khan. Chill out. And then like they have a big swelling moment where it's like, my name is not Engelbert Humperdinck. It is Khan, and like the music swells and all the characters get big-eyed, and like again no one would know or give a shit outside of Spock, the original Spock, but that's not who's there at the time. Like, and I hate that, because you're for me personally, you rip me out of the film because you make me remember I'm watching a film. Like, there's no quicker way to like slap me in the face and be like, guess what? You're watching a movie. Were you emotionally sutured to this moment and experience of other characters? Were you walking in their shoes for a moment in your psyche? Well, too bad. Because
now you're forced to go through your mental Rolodex, pull up Ricardo Montalban and every other fucking thing you've got attached to Khan.
Right, right.
In your head. And start doing that while you're supposed to be just sitting there watching a movie and eating your popcorn. And yes, no, I understand that. So, I understand the...
So Spectre was a bit of a... Christoph Waltz did a great job. Like, the film has other problems, but like at that point, I was just like, Bond shouldn't know who this is. He shouldn't give a shit. And so this one at least came in where I was really happy. And now we're getting into spoilers, I guess. I was really happy that Blofeld wasn't like the big bad, and not in a way that takes away from him being a big bad. Like there's a moment, the big evil weapon in this thing is a virus that you can program to only attack certain people with certain DNA.
Ain't that some shit?
Yeah. I'm sure no problems would ever be, fuck made with that. And Blofeld's running this whole game. He's built up to this moment. He's doing this thing. And based on someone else wanting the technology that Spectre screwed over ages ago, he is triple duped, Blofeld is, and at the party when he's supposed to just put it on James Bond so James Bond dies in front of a bunch of Spectre operatives, it kills all the Spectre operatives. And then when James goes to interrogate Blofeld, it's like he's like still playing the game, but he's also kind of a broken man.
And that was wild in a way, because, I mean, they brought him out and he's like restrained in almost like Magneto or Hannibal Lecter type level restraints. But then he's, as you said, he's got nothing.
Yeah. He's neutered at that point. Like, there's no... Like, he just has information, and that's the only reason why he's relevant, and he's kind of, like, coming to terms with that and still trying to play this cat-and-mouse game. But it was interesting to have James Bond just be like, this is... What? Like,
right.
Like, I just watched your entire team die. And you're going to talk this game to me? Like, I don't know. That was an interesting way to take that character... And make them relevant to the story, not to, like, making them important to, like, the overall arc, like, because they're this linchpin, but the fact that they're now off the board because, not because James Bond is, I mean, James Bond did capture him, but, like, he was still doing, he was still operating shit from the inside via a bionic eye or some shit. He's off the board now, not because of what James Bond did, but because of what Rami Malek's, and I'm going to butcher this name, Lucifer Safin. It's like a, it's like if you added like nine extra letters to Lucifer.
Right. I thought they said Lucifer the first time I heard it. Right. I was like, I think it's okay, so Lucifer. So Lucifer, but then there's like extra.
Yeah, there's a Y, you know, there's a T, there's a bunch of stuff.
Extra consonants.
Yeah.
In there.
So I really liked that they used Blofeld to up the clout of a new character. That was not like trying to take over Spectre. Like he was just like, no, this is all old and stupid and I don't want to deal with it anymore. And so now I'm evil, but I'm evil for these reasons and blah, 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 blah. And I don't know. I dug that. I was very glad Rami Malek was not a Spectre agent. I was glad that it wasn't sort of like an extra thing. Like, the, you know, Bond villains always have an affect. His was sort of like the scars on the porcelain doll mask, which turned it pretty creepy. I dug it. It's fine. Good PR department, apparently, Lucifer has. And there was a, and they, and then of course, in typical movie fashion, his entire backstory is tied then with Madeline's, based on a shared history. He murdered her parents or her mother because her father, who is a Spectre agent, murdered his family. Yeah. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of familial death here. Anyway, I found that interesting. Was there how did you feel about one Mr. Robot running around in this universe now?
Well, he's a great actor, first and foremost. And I want to say the makeup, more so than anything else, assisted with his ability to be effective and creepy. I mean, you know, obviously you don't want to say that he was relying on it or anything like that. And I don't feel like he was, but the overall makeup, no pun intended, of this character, you know, it worked.
Yeah.
I thought, I mean, obviously not the most physically imposing, but then again, that's not the purpose of the, as we learn from Unbreakable, you know,
that's not
the purpose of the master villain. The master villain is not necessarily physically imposing in a lot of ways. He should be the opposite of your hero.
Right.
So, you know, the whole thing with him just kind of be this coming across as this unassuming guy, and then, you know, but this is what I'm doing, and then you're like, oh my God, so you're really trying to just basically pandemic us. It's like, well, damn, son.
Yeah.
You know, and I think because of course the times that we're living in, I think we're all a little sensitive to that.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know. So just bringing it out, you know, it's just like, okay, wow. And in a way it is, I don't want to say it was predictable that, oh yeah, so now we're going to hit the world with a pandemic because, you know, we're going to tie on our little pandemic strings that we all have now. But, you know, I mean, that is kind of what we did, but, that is kind of what they did, but they did it well. So, you're not really like it didn't take me out of the head of the movie. You know, it's just something that I noticed and I just cataloged and put it away.
Yeah, I think the interesting thing about it, it's funny because I feel like if this movie had been released when it was finished forever ago, we would have all been in a place where like we want nothing to do with viruses. What the shit.
That is absolutely true.
And now I was able to sort of parse it a little bit back. Like it to me it's interesting. It, because it was like a techno virus, for lack of a better term, and because if you got it on you, whatever it was programmed to do, it could live on you forever. Like, there's no getting rid of it.
I believe the word nanobytes was thrown around.
Yeah. So, like, because of that whole thing aspect of it, I didn't quite connect it to it. Like, because it was so weaponized and so specific in certain cases, I never got that. But then again, to your point, I mean, they literally do say entire, groups, families, races, etc., can be, like, targeted. And and then it was just like, oh, fuck. Like this isn't just James Bond at a party getting misted. this is a whole nother level. And you never quite know what Lucifer is really like. Like, who he's going to... what he's going to do, because he posits himself, from what he says, as basically doing the same thing that James Bond does, just tidier. Like, who's licensed to kill? Who gets to decide that? Well, you run around and blow shit up. I'm going to do this without collateral damage. In fact, the definition of collateral damage, this weapon would eliminate. Now, that's not... I mean, you could go back and forth on what that actually, if that is a good thing or a bad thing based on a weapon. But it makes it sort of a more interesting quandary than like, oh no, nukes, oh no, bomb, oh no, Green Goblin holding Mary Jane over the Williamsburg Bridge or whatever. Like, there's, I don't know, it made it both personal and... I guess sort of like global in a weird way. And I appreciated that, again, for a swan song evil Bond plan. I thought it was very effective. Here's, I was sad about this one thing. I really like Felix. Jeffrey Wright is a national treasure. And I've liked him in all of these films as sort of like the American counterpart to Bond. I found it very fun. And they had like a genuine friendship that, like, actually evolved over five films, like, between the scenes. And I don't think it was a plot misstep or anything like that, but I was very sad to see him go. I always wished we got a little more action-y with Felix, because he is the American Bond in this world. And it did suck too that he got by Billy Magsuin, Logan Ash, the Abercrombie and Fitch wing of Spectre, and that definitely sucked. Not poo pooing what the movie was doing. It was just one of those moments where like the film actually draws you in and you're like, oh shit, that sucks, and gives you a little bit of emotional pull.
And speaking also as a big fan of Jeffrey Wright, and also speaking as somebody who scared the hell out of him one night.
How did you scare the hell out of him?
Okay, I happened to be, this was when I was riding my motorcycle a little more regularly, middle of the night, I'm just kind of like whipping around, and I realized I needed cash.
As we all do.
As we all do at different times, whatever. So I stop at a Citibank on, I want to say, the corner of Myrtle and Clinton here in Brooklyn. And I am stepping off the bike and I'm all like, basically like Terminator. I'm trying to take my helmet off. And as I'm taking, but I'm like stuck, like the latch is like stuck. Oh, no. And now I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to just walk in. Fuck it. And I'm walking into the bank and Jeffrey Wright is walking out. And he looked terrified. Amazing. Because here's this like big thing in a big helmet coming at him. And I was just like, oh, hey, no, it's all good. I'm actually a fan. And I'm just, the helmet's just stuck,
He got the hell out of there. Your boots and your motorcycle.
It's a little bit muffled, but you get the gist. That's hilarious. Well, Jeffrey Wright, big listener of the show, by the way, so I'm sure he knows now.
Sure.
It was just a big motorcycle
misunderstanding.
How did the bank take you walking, or did you just go to an ATM?
Oh no, it was the middle of the night.
Oh, so it was an ATM.
The bank was closed.
Right. Got you. Got you.
So
got
I was
you,
just going you. To the ATM machine right. inside the bank.
I just didn't know if you were literally like going to march.
Oh, no, I'm not. Like, you would not. You would probably not be talking to me now.
Oh,
you
know. Oof. Thank
from
you,
Supermax.
Cycle. Yeah.
But I wasn't trying to rock.
I just
up.
Wanted to say hi to Jeffrey Wright.
Exactly.
So here comes into big spoiler town, right?
Yes.
This being Daniel Craig's last film. They fucking killed Bond.
Dude.
They did it. They did the thing. I'm kind of glad they did the thing. Like,
yeah, it felt it was very stirring emotionally.
Yeah.
And especially with that one shot of him mm-hmm. standing there literally waiting for the missiles and whatever. And it was like, it was, first of all, that shot, whoever set that up.
Yeah.
Like, they deserve something.
Yeah.
Some kind of an award. Cinematography, I don't know, whatever. Because that was literally like, because the other funny thing about the movie is,
the Linus movie Sandgren, is by the way, director of photography.
Nice. Well, he deserves all kinds of stuff.
Yeah.
Because the movie also kind of, not so subtly, insinuates that he's on the border of being a relic.
Yes.
And he's actually been replaced as far as the 007 rotation
that
goes.
That is right.
And by a badass British Jamaican lady.
Yeah.
Oh.
Lashana Lynch, know me. Or 007, as it is. And, yeah.
As yeah. I'm just saying. And so, you know, it's like, and not to mention the fact is I was leaving the theater, and I know this is probably like kind of like a, again, sign of the times
yeah.
kind of thing. It's like, this might be the only Bond movie where there was one love interest. Well, not necessarily one love interest.
One woman that he slept with in that film. Yeah.
In the film. Like, I want to say this was one of the few, if not the only one, where it's literally just about him and another woman, mm-hmm. and then everybody else around him is just kind of like, because even Moneypenny, you know, any like sort of like, I don't know, tension romantically or whatever that might have kind of been insinuated in the other movies, nothing.
Nothing.
Like nothing.
Respect.
Respect. Yeah. Lots of respect, but kind of like, you know, it's a swan song in such a way that like I can actually kind of like almost relate in it. It's almost like one of those things I'm watching this whole thing spell out and he's got to this like crescendo moment. And it's like, you're almost like, yeah, that's, you know what? That's how, if I'm going to go out, that's how I want to go out.
Yeah.
Like that.
And on that note, I liked it because it wasn't trite. Like, they managed, mm-hmm. in a way, to lock James Bond into an impossible situation that James Bond can't get out of. If he leaves, yeah. he's covered in nanobots or whatever that you can't take off. The movie said so. And he would kill his the love of his life and his daughter.
Mm-hmm.
So why go back? Like, what's the fucking point? Like, and at that point, you know, add that to, by the way, you have to open the missile silos because if you don't, this isn't going to matter and yada, yada, yada. It's like, well, like it made a very clear heroic sacrifice play. And I mm-hmm. liked that. Granted, couple little hiccups in the how do things work category. For instance, if he has that EMP watch and he had someone in a headlock, how did that not also blow his radio transponder in his ear? Listen, we're not going to worry about that because he gave a funny line about it blowing someone's mind.
Right.
And let's not even, actually, I'd be very interested to know if that, like, gravity plane slash submarine actually existed. I was getting real Escape from L.A. vibes with that shit.
Right. Yes. Yes.
Again, I loved it. I just it borders on silly. And when Bond movies start getting to that point, especially this thing, I'm happy to see them go out gracefully. On that note, so now SVP, we are in need. I mean, I don't know if we are actually in need, but they're going to, because capitalism, of a new Bond.
Well, you know what's funny? At the very, 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 very end of the movie, because now people sit through credits because Marvel has us trained to wait through everything now, just in case somebody decides to slap you with, you know, oh, and then here's a new boogeyman or some dumb shit, you know. So they said at the very end of the credits, James Bond will be back. To which you're like, but wait. to Matt's point, capitalism.
Yeah.
But y'all just blew this dude up. Yeah. So, I mean, like, blew him up.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Like, what? You know, he's technically James Unbond.
Yeah, he's right unbonded now from all of the proteins that keep his cells together.
So
what do you think? What do you think they're going to do? That's the question. Step one, are they going to...
We're probably looking at least a 3-year.
Oh, I hope so.
At least 3 years of nothing.
But now Amazon owns half of James Bond or whatever, so like all the like goodwill is kind of out the way. That's right? Don't they? Isn't that?
Oh, that's right.
They own 50%.
I completely forgot about that. And you're absolutely right. And yes, that is a problem just because of that.
The Fleming estate said that they still have creative control over what things actually happen. Like, I know it's a 50-50, but like I think there's something in the clause. I have no idea, but I have a feeling that we're going to see a James Bond television series, Amazon original, at some point before we see a film. That's my dark not wanting. Am I right? Is it Amazon? I can't remember. I think it is.
I think you're right. that's, well, you know what it is? It's like, as we sit here now, halfway cringing at that proposition, just because, you know, it's a matter of overkill. You know, just redundancy and we all had this magical moment at watching the end of this movie for you to now turn around and, you know, get some like you said, Abercrombie and Finch model to run around and sort of recreate an hourly streaming thing. Yes, the initial news will annoy me. But, in all fairness, if it's good, then it's good. And
sure.
Then that becomes the thing, you know?
The problem I have with that is very rarely is it good. Like I can't... I don't know.
I hear you.
Now, granted, look, it's funny. I don't know if it's because it's Amazon Studios or anything like that, or them sort of having a thing. Because, you know, as we all know, Amazon, the kings of restraint. Well, when it comes to paying people a living wage, zing! Every once in a while, we do get a series that beats the movie in likability. Actually, it's funny, and this is a personal thing. I know people go back and forth on this, but we're vampire people, Shahir. What We Do in the Shadows. I feel like the show has surpassed the film in many ways for me. I think the format works really well with TV, and I didn't think it would when I started it.
And again, yes, exactly.
Yeah.
TV series, what?
Yeah. So.
And then you watch it, and you're like, oh, okay.
Bat. I might even be trying to go as Jackie Daytona, average human bartender for Halloween.
Stop.
I think that'd be very, very fun.
That's hilarious.
But yeah, so it can be done.
Absolutely.
I don't think it should be done, but no one's asking me.
Not in this case.
Right.
No, I think we should at least get a 3-year rest. Mm.
So let's assume that. Let's say we live in a world that listens to us. What then, if we wanted films to continue, do we want to see out of a James Bond? Do we want to see Lashana Lynch take on the role? Do we want to see someone else take on the role? Like, here's a question too. Do we want, no matter who does it, them to be called James Bond? because is it a code name? Are we still in the same universe? Like,
no, like no, that. Because no, I don't want to call it that. No.
But then what
I wanted to go by her name.
But then what is it?
But then she's 007, or maybe she's 008. I, out of respect, maybe they hang him up in the rafters. And then,
but then it's not James Bond again. Capitalism, it's going to come know. Back. Like, that's my question. I just have very little faith in companies showing restraint.
As well, you should. As well, you should.
I was trying to think of anyone else that I would want. Like, I'm like, oh man, if only so and so could be Bond. Of course, Idris Elba was floated forever. But I think he might be getting a little old to start a five film franchise sort of with.
Oh,
Bond.
Absolutely, yeah.
I'm trying to think of other actors who I'd be like, ooh, yes. Mm. But I can't really think of any. I feel like doing.
I got one.
Okay.
Even though he's already got enough money, for God's sake, mm-hmm. Tom Hiddleston.
Okay.
And I'm saying that because not only will it be sort of like a new polished, it'll be a different twist.
Yep.
But I saw, and I'm blanking on the name of this thing. I want to, well, if I mention it, maybe you'll remember it. It's this thing, it's a series he did with Hugh Lowry.
Okay.
And it was, oh my God! You know what? Maybe I should just cheat and just dig it up on the phone real quick. It was like The Night something, and he was brilliant in that. It was no Loki, no superhero mm-hmm. crap or anything like that. It was literally just him as this guy getting drawn into this sort of like espionage thing, and it was great, and he was great in it. I mean, he's a great actor.
Yeah.
You know, the fact that, you know, we discovered him collectively, you know, where he had big horns on his head and a staff, you know, all of that aside, I mean, he's like I want to say he's like Shakespearean trained because I
sure.
remember seeing him do like a speech from King Henry or something like that not too long ago. But if we were going to hand that to somebody, that's one of my first picks.
Okay, I can see it.
Some
people have floated Richard Madden from Game of Thrones, who's going to be in Eternals.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. I don't think he's suave enough.
Mm.
I don't know. People have floated Tom Hardy. People have floated Reggie Jean Page from Bridgerton.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know. I don't know. I would... To be honest, I would mm-hmm. rather see a Lashana Lynch be Bond. I don't know how it would function from a name recognition, whatever. Like, you could just call it 007 or whatever, because I don't know. I like the Craig Bond universe, which could also be connected to the rest of the Bond universe, but like, I like that they've sort of put an end cap on this. Like,
yes.
there's always the rumor that James Bond is a code name. And that's why so many actors have had it. And you can, there's flaws in that logic. There's other things, blah, blah, blah.
Big, big flaws.
But you could, look, if you just said that, people would be like, no, well, actually, and then they'd get over it. Like, if that's the direction you're going to go.
Mm-hmm.
Now they wouldn't get over sort of, you know, gender bending or changing the race of the actor playing the role because people are idiots. But the James Bond, I think, is in a perfect spot to sort of flip its own script now. Like,
yeah,
because you can have your cake and eat it too. And, mm-hmm. and you can do something new and innovative and do something different with a character because mm-hmm. it's technically a new character. rather than just sort of do something old hat. I mean, look, you don't have to change everything about a character to make it new, but this is one way to do it. It's one way to keep it fresh. It's not the only way.
Right.
I don't know. I think it'd be fucking cool. And granted, I don't think Nomi got a lot to do in this movie, to be perfectly honest. I loved the switcheroo of her picking him up in Jamaica or wherever they were, and then
first of all, kudos for shooting in Jamaica in the first place, because you know, for a variety of reasons, that can't be easy.
No,
for a variety of reasons.
Yeah.
Secondly, big shout out to the filmmakers for using actual dancehall reggae music.
Okay, yeah.
That I used to be up in the club doing the, you know, man, that brought back some, oh my God. I was like, oh, hey.
What the fuck's James Bond doing here?
Right, for real, you know, listening to Walk Like a Champion, son. Like, oh my God. Like, that got me. And first of all, it got me because that meant that those cats that made that song, they got a little money. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. They got some money behind that, you know, so that in and of itself is fantastic.
Yeah.
And then just the actress herself, I you know, just doing an amazing job. And the thing is, what was great about her being there, her being one of two black women in the movie, you know, it's like, first of all, they made her so functional that there was no sense of tokenism.
Right.
And that felt really, really good. Like, she was there.
Yeah.
She deserved to be there. And that's that.
Mm-hmm.
And she's literally like supreme badass. That is also sort of on the inaccessible side.
Yeah, and...
And I think that's all fantastic.
They made a character... I will say this. So the con, in my view, is that, like, because it is Daniel Craig's James Bond swan song, and it's a 2-hour and 43-minute movie, there's not enough time to, like, real... Like, I wanted more time with that character to sort of, like, figure out who they were other than pissed that James Bond is back.
Right.
But also... I will say this. They took a character whose central motivation was, I'm pissed that James Bond is back, and made me not dislike them for it. Does that make sense?
Oh, totally.
Like, that's a hard pill to swallow in a lot of ways, but like, I wanted more of that character. I wanted to know that character better. I was never annoyed with that character. And normally that character is set up to annoy the audience because the audience came there to see character A. That character doesn't like character A, blah, blah, blah. So kudos again on that sort of making that dynamic work and be enjoyable while keeping this new character feeling, you know, like something you want to watch. I think this movie was a phenomenal way, I guess we'll just sort of roll into sort of final thoughts at this point, a phenomenal way to cap the Daniel Craig run and kind of the whole series, but it will never die, capitalism. I will say, as sort of my final backhanded compliment. This is not my favorite of the Daniel Craig films, but I don't think it ever could be. Mm-hmm. Because, like, while we said, like, Spectre and Quantum are a little bit like, meh, the two standouts, Casino Royale and Skyfall, are standouts for two very different reasons, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Casino Royale took it to a back-to-basics, smaller spy story. That the drama of that poker table and like the entirety of Bond sort of thing is like, it's a real personal story, right?
Yes.
Skyfall is kind of like a balls to the wall action palooza where like, it's like action cinema on a super high level. And you're like in it for like the drama of the physicality.
Mm-hmm.
They each chose their lane. And they rode those lines to perfection. Mm-hmm. This movie, No Time to Die, you can't do both and have it be perfection. But you can find a nice balance point. And I think this did find that nice balance point. But because of that, it still will, like, if you have two levers, you can't really get them both to the 100% mark. If you want to, like, take one down, you kind of have to raise the other one. And so my point being, like, this is a really great hybrid, but it will never stay in my mind as, like, the holy fucking shit, like, this one piece of a style of storytelling excellence over here. It's not going to hit that for me. But that's also okay because it's the end. and it needs to hit a lot more marks. So I really appreciate it for what it's did for what it did. Kerry Joji Fukunawa did a phenomenal job directing. Again, we talked about the cinematographer. It must have been so difficult for the cast and crew to just sort of like hold this movie. But
so many locations too. And that was
It was also kind of a hard movie not to spoil yourself on because they just kept releasing trailers. And that's not the cast and crew's fault. That's the marketing department's fault. They have to keep it sort of relevant. But, like, I tried actively avoiding them after a while because I was worried that they'd show the whole movie. But I actually will say this. They kind of didn't. Like, I watched eventually, not willing, because I saw trailers eventually before movies when I was going back to theaters. They kept showing the trailer, and it's hard to sort of block that out. And, yeah, they showed some parts. But, like, a lot of it is in the beginning when they're in Italy. Isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And a couple things. So, like, it was more like the non-consequential action sequences. So, yeah. Anyway, I was very pleased with it. SVP, please take us home with your final thoughts.
My final thoughts are, it was, you know what, I actually, and maybe this is my age, maybe this is just, you know, where I am in life, I found it rather easy to fall into this movie emotionally. And for that reason, it will remain a standout. Like you said, not the same lane as Casino Royale, not the same lane as Skyfall, not the same lane as any of the other five movies. Kind of like its own sort of like hybrid, yeah. Like you said. and the only the wild thing about it is that unlike everybody else's run at this character, like, this has become something that I kind of cherish.
Mm-hmm.
And I left the theater genuinely wanting to, like, re-binge everything just to, you know, kind of just, I don't know, maybe look for Easter eggs.
Yeah.
And, like, really, like, just, like, fucking nerd out on it. Like, that's where it left me.
Yeah.
So I was pleased, to say the least.
Hard same. Hard same. Everybody, this has been the only podcast about the film No Time to Die. Oh, I didn't even read the IMDb movie description. I almost forgot because this was such a haphazard show that, again, you saved me for. This is what Mr. Internet Movie Database has to say that the plot of this film is. James Bond has left active service. His peace is short-lived when Felix Leiter, an old friend from the CIA, turns up asking for help, leading Bond onto the trail of a mysterious villain armed with a dangerous new technology. That is correct. That is the film. They did the thing without spoiling the thing and didn't go too much into it. That's pretty much what happens. That's the first.
Good old IMDb.
There we go. They did it. SVP, when you are not saving my ass with some good old-fashioned male bonding at midnight on a Wednesday, where can folks find you?
Well, let's see. There's Instagram and Twitter, both aptly named SVP Thinks.
Mm-hmm.
So that's at SVP Thinks for both of those things. Oh, hello, Lola.
Is that your cat?
That's my cat.
Okay. Just clearing
yours,
that up.
Yours, yeah, yours has been behind you.
Yes,
for a little
bit. Zoe's been surprisingly quiet because I fed her before we started.
That was smart. I thought I fed this one too, but I think she just missed me. All right, let me. I'm almost done. Let me finish. Anyway, and of course, if you want to check out the stuff I've written, or at least some of it, because I also have a bunch of short stories out and a bunch of anthologies. But if you are interested in any of my either vampire lore or serial killer series or my anthologies that I've written with my fellow podcast mates, Kirk Johnson and Mark Abbott, just visit www.laughingblackvampire.com. There's also a video library full of just a lot of stuff, including some stuff from Extra Credit.
Yeah.
And yeah, that's it. www.laughingblackvampire.com.
Also, you do a podcast. You just mentioned it, right?
Yes, Beef, Wine, and Shenanigans, which started off as three middle-aged black dudes supposedly going to nerd out over horror, science fiction, and superhero movies. And then really awful person got elected president in 2016.
Did
and,
you turn into a and, politics and, show?
And not so much a politics show, but it was more like group therapy.
Sure.
Over podcast.
Sure.
Over politics, because we were just that upset.
Yeah, no, it's understandable. Understandable.
We actually do a game that I just invented, and I call it America's Least Favorite Game Show, and it's called Name That Racist. I have a graphic for it and everything, actually. So Name That Racist is literally me asking my podcast mates trivia questions about various races.
Oh, man. Man, well, your work on Extra History, I hope, has helped stump them on occasion.
It actually helped me get there. So you actually are part to
there we go.
To give credit for
there
on
we
that.
Go. Well, you can find me and my life and works at Skeletor, the number 4, PREZ on Instagram, Emperor MSK on Twitter, and of course my website, MATTHEWKROL.com for my life and works, or really like my old life and works before I became a cartoon on the internet, over on Extra Credits, where you might also have recognized me from.
Very good looking cartoon.
Oh, thank you very much. Please check out the good works we're doing over there. We have a couple things. We just uploaded our D&D one shot because we did a charity for Rise Above the Disorder that posted last week. Also, mm-hmm. Rob did his Lies episode for Rasputin, and we have a music video up there. You can also see a lot of SVP's episodes he's done for Extra History and Extra Mythology on there, so please check those out as well. And then SVP, this is so exciting. I didn't even realize this would be the case and that I could shill this as well. So next Wednesday, the Wednesday after this post, this will be posting on the Sunday prior to said Wednesday. Mm-hmm. We are doing at Extra Credits a thing we are calling Vampire Day / Night. And during the day, there will be our literature series, So You Haven't Read. We'll be talking about Bram Stoker's Dracula, which is a really, really fucking cool episode written by Robert Rath. And then in the evening, we're going to be doing, again, because everyone was so generous on the charity stream on my birthday back in April, and people want to see us play games online that are not just Dungeons & Dragons, we are teaming up with World of Darkness for their 30th anniversary of the Vampire the Masquerade game and their whole RPG rule system. And we are doing a one-shot hosted by Jasmine Boulard, and SVP is joining the cast as one of the vampires, and we'll be streaming that live on Twitch on the Extra Credits Twitch channel at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Wednesday, October 20th. I am fucking pumped, and I'm also a little scared. Like, I don't know if you know this, SVP, but Jasmine and Jen, who are on that show with you, me, and Arthur, are like names in that space. And
so I've gathered.
And I'm intimidated as hell to do it, but it's going to be so fun. We all get to play vampires and hang out for 3 or 4 hours and, you know.
Yeah, I'm basically just relying on my imagination and what few acting chops I have to get me through whatever she's going to throw
you
at me.
You and me both.
I imagine, because in our preliminary talks, she's been very, oh, is that what you want to do? Like, you can hear it in her voice. Yeah. She's like, okay.
She's got plans. She's got machinations. And I'm very, very excited. I'm very excited for it. So please check that out. If that sounds up your wheelhouse, if you want to hear me and SVP pretend to be imaginary vampires, but do it like really fucking cool, then please tune into that. I guess me and Shahir, maybe me and someone else, maybe SVP. I have no idea. We're going to be talking at you about a film next week. You'll hear it. You'll get the ding or the thing or whatever. Please rate, review us 5 stars. Maybe send us an email, onlymoviepodcast@gmail.com. Let us know what you thought of No Time to Die. Who you think should be the next Bond, or what generation vampire you think SVP is in real life. I want to know those 3 things if you write us in. Okay? That's your homework assignment. And with that, SVP, thank you so much again for joining me. This was a blast.
All good, man. And appreciate you for having me.
And we will chat at you later. Bye, everybody. Good day.